It is never too late
or too early
to begin finishing well. You can even begin today.
If you stop learning today,
you will stop growing tomorrow.
I must tell you, it is better to finish well.
Finishing well is a very, very important thing.
I have seen so many people begin very well and they have ended very.
Haven't you seen many people have been betrayed by their
appetites? It is very important to begin well.
I've been teaching in Chambogo since 2002.
I have seen students begin very well first year and then
very miserable.
I have seen lecturers begin their career very well. They have ended miserably.
I have seen people begin relationships with their girlfriends very well. They have ended miserably.
So never give up your anointing.
I want to tell you, it is better to finish well.
Finishing well is a very, very important thing.
I have seen so many people begin very well and they have ended very, very badly.
Every president of Uganda since 1962, beginning with Kabaka Mutesa, they started very well, they died in exile. They started very well, they died in exile. They started very well, they died in exile. They started very well, they all ended in exile. We have a culture of beginning well and ending miserably, politically. In fact, I'm even now very worried about the president of Zimbabwe. If he doesn't learn from the past, God forbid, he's also going likely to end up like the others have been. It is very important to begin well. I've been teaching in Chambogo since 2002. I have seen students begin very well first year and they have ended very, very miserably. Very miserably. I have seen lecturers begin their career very well. They have ended miserably. I have seen people begin relationships with their girlfriends very well. They have ended miserably. I have seen churches begin well, they have ended miserably. Today, I want you to get the principle that biblical truth is that you begin well and finish well. Tell somebody near you, begin well and finish well. So, it is never too late or too early to begin finishing well. You can even begin today. If you stop learning today, you will stop growing tomorrow. Your career is what you get paid to do. Your calling is what you are made to do. I pray that the Lord this morning will help you to understand what I am trying to talk about. So it's not what we do, what we want to do. It's God, what do you want me to do? In the book we have read in the second reading, we have read in chapter 4, verse 7 of 2 Timothy, Paul, when he said, I have fought a good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith, and I am waiting for a reward of eternal life. So Paul started very well. He fought a good fight. He finished the race. And he was giving a testimony that he was going to get the prize for which God had prepared for him. So starting well is very easy. Most people start very well because beginning is very easy. But finishing well is a very difficult matter. And I would like you to really, 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 really understand that getting married is very easy. Getting a wife, getting a husband. But staying married through the struggles, adjustments and trials is not very easy. To get a husband is very easy. To sustain it is very difficult. The same is with Christian life. Becoming a Christian is relatively easy. Acknowledging God that you are a sinner and receiving by faith is very easy. But keeping your faith as a Christian is a very, very difficult task. And you can only do that when you have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That is why it is very important for each one of you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ask somebody near you, have you ever been filled with the Holy Spirit? You know that People begin very well as a marathon. They run very well at the beginning, first round, second round, and you see them ending very, very badly. So today I want us to study a certain young man, how he began very well, what kept him moving, and also how he ended very badly, and what made him end badly. And I want you to turn to Judges chapter 13. A young man called Samson. In chapter 13 verse 1, the Bible says that at that time, everybody in Israel after the death of Joshua, who was a great leader, the Bible tells us that everybody in Israel did what pleased him. Judges chapter 13, let us read from verse 1. Again, the children of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered him into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. But there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children, but they were God-fearing people. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed now you are barren and you have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore please be careful not to drink any alcohol or a similar drink. Do not eat anything unclean, for behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." Give a big hand clap to the Lord. Everybody in Israel did what was right according to him. So there was no law and order. They didn't have a leader. Each one was doing what they want. What was bad to you was according to you. What was good to you was according to you. What was a sin was according to you. Everybody was doing what pleased them. And God was angry with them. He handed them over to the Philistines for 40 years. And like Egypt was leading them in slavery, the Philistines led them and tormented them for 40 years. Now when you look around today in this country, you find that everybody is doing what they want. I think Museveni has given Ugandans a lot of peace that they don't care. Driving from my home in Namugongo to reach here, 2 hours. People are driving the way they want. They don't follow any laws. People are selling things the way they want. People are walking the way they want. They are saying whatever they want. And the Bible says that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. God is a God of order. God has laws to follow and laws not to follow. So if you are doing whatever comes in your head, let me tell you, you will grieve the Spirit of God. God has given us a set of laws and procedures and what to do in His book. If you divert from this book and do what pleases you, be assured that He's going to send the Philistines to torment you in one way or another for many years. So, but when God, after 40 years, God looked for a family in the whole land where there was lawlessness and whatever. There was a family of Manoah, which was a God-fearing family. Say amen. Out of that community of chaotic people doing whatever they want, there was a godly family. I want to encourage all of you who are here, please endeavor to be a godly family. Tell somebody near you, endeavor to begin a godly family where the Lord will pick a Nazarite. That is God's design for each one of you. He wants to birth somebody
Who will deliver Israel? Who will deliver your family from the hands of the enemy? So Samson was born in a godly home. And his mother was godly. His father was godly. So he was born in a godly home. So if you want to finish well, you must watch your background. Some of us, we come from very terrible backgrounds. All sorts of backgrounds. That there was nothing good spoken, there was nothing good around you. But let me tell you, when Jesus comes into your life, your background has no power over your destiny. So you must, if you want to begin well and finish well, if you want to finish well, number one, you must cut yourself off from your past. Some of you have been pulling your past for a long time. You cannot run a race pulling your past. You will collapse and get tired. Amen? Secondly, you must be called by God. God called Samson before he was born. And I want to tell you, God is a smart God. He knows the end from the beginning. Once he creates you and allows you to be born, he knows what you are going to be. He's a businessman. You are business people. He wants profit. Each one of you was not born by accident. Each one of you is not here by accident. You are here because God is depositing, investing something in you. What he wants to use you. So you must understand your calling. Your calling is a higher calling. You are not chickens, you are eagles. For the Bible says that those who wait upon the Lord shall have their strength renewed. They shall mount up like what? Did the Bible say like chickens? Did it say like turkeys? Did it say like ducks? Tell somebody near you, get away from a duck mentality. You are an eagle, you are not a duck. You are an eagle, you are not a chicken. In Jesus' name. Amen. You must understand your calling, that your calling is higher. Some of you are thinking locally. You must know that your calling is global. Tell somebody near, your calling is global. Think globally. You should not be thinking of working with the United Nations, working in America, working in Canada, working in... You should not think locally. Some of you are still thinking village. You are still village pumpkins. You come from the village, even when you are in the city, you still think like a villager. Tell somebody near, don't think like a villager. You are a campuser. You are not a village pumpkin. You are a city kid now. He was called by God. Verse 5, chapter 13. You will become pregnant. You will have a son whose head is never to be touched by a razor, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, dedicated for God from the womb. He will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines. You have a calling. God has called you. And he has set your plan. He has been weaving a grand plan for your destiny. He wants you to partner with him so that he can fulfill his destiny for you. There is only one person who can destroy your destiny. It is you. Even the devil has no power over your destiny. You know, it had to ask for permission to tempt Job. It went and asked for permission. So if you give it permission like Eve and Adam, you are finished. So number one, you must cut yourself off from the past if you want to finish well. Number two, you must be called by God. Number three, you must understand your calling. That your calling is global. When I was a small boy, my mother used to tell me that whenever an aeroplane would pass by, I would say, "Mommy, that one is mine, that one is mine. That one's mine. I will go in it." Over and over, my mother used to say, "You man, you boy, every airplane is yours." Let me ask you now. Isn't now my transport by air? I mean, I was saying it when I was a small boy in the village. But I was prophetically, I was thinking globally. I was thinking globally from a border to an aeroplane. You need to start praying globally. Thinking globally. Planning globally. You must get away from this mentality of saying, in my family, nobody has ever bought a car. In my family, nobody has ever gone abroad. In my family, nobody has ever had twins. In my family, nobody has ever done what? Let me tell you, cut yourself off from that thinking. Hey, never trust a man. There are some men who are trusted like me. Never trust a woman. Omukazi chisarani. My wife is not a chisarani. Instead of finding your mother-in-law, you better find her grave. My mother-in-law is a good woman. All those thinking from the devil, get away from them. The next one, if you want to finish well, you must keep the laws. When Samson was born, he was given 10 commandments. Commandment number 1, never to shave the hair or beard. In chapter 13, verse 5. Never. Because that was the source of his anointing. It was a very great anointing that was on his hair. That was where God had placed his power. And it was a secret which he was going to keep. Now, I want to challenge all of you who are here, never lose your anointing. Tell somebody near you, never lose your anointing. Each one of you, God has given you an anointing somewhere. Has given you a gifting somewhere. Has given you a passion somewhere. Never ever lose your anointing. You know, Esau lost his firstborn right because of food. He told his brother, he said, I am very hungry, I'm going to die. He said, okay, first give me your firstborn rights, I'll give you food. I said, firstborn right for what? I am dying. Was he dying? And so he sold his firstborn rights. The Bible says, even when he came looking for it in tears, he never got it. So never give away your anointing. The second commandment, not drink alcohol all his life or any alcoholic drink. Chapter 13, verse 4 and verse 14 of Judges. The Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God said no alcohol yesterday, even today he's saying no alcohol, even tomorrow he's saying no alcohol for a man and a woman of who? Of God. Uganda was voted number 1 in drinking alcohol in the whole world. Persons per liter, we were number 1 in the whole world. And people celebrated that we are drinkers. Haven't you seen girls who have drunk themselves silly in this university? And they have landed themselves into trouble. To even have sex with a border, a university undergraduate with a border who didn't even go to P1. Haven't you seen men who have drunk themselves silly? Haven't you seen drunken drivers? Haven't you seen men of God who have been destroyed by alcohol? Didn't you see a man called Noah, who was a man of God, who built an ark, but after the flood, didn't he drink himself silly, and he was naked? And when his son told his brothers, he cursed him as well. Why do you curse me? Am I the one who made you naked? Haven't you heard of Lot, who escaped from Sodom and Gomorrah? And he drank himself silly. What did he do? Didn't he sleep with his daughters and made them pregnant? Ask somebody near you, why are you still drinking? You see, alcohol is a brainwashing acid. Tell somebody near you, alcohol is a brainwashing acid. Commandment number 4 and number 3, he was not supposed to see, touch, or eat from dead bodies or any defiled things. Chapter 13, verse 14. God said, if you find an animal dead, don't eat that meat. If you find an animal dead and there is food inside it, don't eat it because you are set apart for God.
Haven't you seen many people have been betrayed by their appetites? Ask somebody near you, how high is your appetite? Haven't you seen many? I was asking some students, and they say that if you want a girl in the university, 4 C's. C number 1, cash. You'll get her. C number 2, car. Come and park there. You'll get her. C number 3, cell phone. Come with a smartphone like this one. And just say you will have it, you will have her. And the next 2 C's is chicken and chips. Give her chicken and chips. Just chicken and chips, you will get her. Wasn't our great grandmother Eve? She was betrayed by what? Appetite. Esau was betrayed by what? Appetite. Noah, appetite. Lot, appetite. And how many heroes of faith in the Bible were betrayed by their appetites? Don't go eating here and there. You are not a pig, you are a human being. And some of you don't even want to fast. You claim you have ulcers. You are going to have them. Because the Bible says, pray, ask, and it shall be what? Given to you. Seek, and you do what? Fine. Knock, and the door will be what? Yes, if you are claiming that you have ulcers, you are going to have them. Haven't you been betrayed by hunger and your appetites? Commandment number 5. He was not number 4. No sexual immorality before marriage. You are a Nazarite set apart by God. No sex before marriage. You are supposed to remain sexually pure. You are a virgin from birth. You remain a virgin until you get married. You are set apart for who? For God. You shall never be in any arms of any woman. You are a Nazarite. Ask somebody near you, how is your sexual life? Ask somebody near you very quietly, how is your sexual appetite? How is your sexual appetite? Umuriro. Vavuguma. If there is anything that has betrayed many younger people, is their sexual appetite. And you know that Samson was a very handsome boy, very, very handsome. And when he combed his hair and passed by, all the girls would fall down for him. They wanted his hair. Ask somebody near you, why are you falling for somebody's hair? When you see her straight palm, when you see how she combs her hair, let me tell you, all of you are here. Your eyes will destroy you. Tell somebody near, your eyes will destroy you. Job made a covenant. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Never trust on women. Tell a man near you, make a covenant with God. Never trust on women. And some of you still have a demon of polygamy. Your great grandfather had wives and wives. So since you started the first year here, how many boyfriends have you had? First year, one. Second year, first semester, another one. Third semester, another one. By the time you finish 3 years, you have 7 men. Ask somebody near you, are you a polygamist? Now, these days you got blessings because they are birth control methods, so you no longer become pregnant. But you are on family planning with who? Ask a lady near you, family planning with who? You are planning for children you don't have. Do you have children? Why are you on family planning when you don't have children? Commandment number 5. Not to marry a Gentile woman. He was supposed to marry a Jewish woman because the Gentile women used to come with their gods. Ask somebody near you, is your boyfriend a Christian? Is your girlfriend a Christian? Ask them, is your girlfriend a Christian? Is your boyfriend a Christian? And some of you are interested in Muslims because they have money.
Let me tell you, money is going to kill you. Let me tell you men who are looking at me. Have you ever heard people who have a degree called sugar mammology, bachelor of sugar mammology? These sugar mummies with money and bachelor of sugar dadology. Somebody who is supposed to be your grandfather is going to bed with you. Where are you going to put that curse? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that any person who has sex with his stepmother should be excommunicated. Now, stepmother is much better than a grandfather. Ask somebody near you, how is it with you? Number 6, he was not supposed to tell a lie at all because he was a man of God. And men of God were supposed to be honest. Ask somebody near you, how is your mouth appetite, your verbal appetite? Ask somebody near you, how is your verbal appetite? Some of us, we are suffering from verbal dysphoria. We don't have breaks. Some of us, the words we speak, they are so dangerous. It's verbal cholera that comes from your mouth, destroying your fellow brothers and sisters. One of the things that is killing universities is gossip. Bachelor of Gossip and Logistics Management. Number 7, he was not supposed to go to wrong places. There are certain towns he was forbid as a Nazarite, like Gaza, or some towns which were demarcated as demonic centers where the shrines of the Philistines were. As the man of God, he was not supposed to go there. Ask somebody near you, what places do you go to? What places do you go to? If they look for you at night, where do they find you? If you go for clubbing, you'll be clubbed. If you go for drinking, you'll be drunk. By who? By alcohol. Let me tell you, men and women have been destroyed. They have finished very badly because of going to wrong places, eating wrong food, loving wrong people. God is the same yesterday. These laws are still for you because if you are a Christian, automatically you are a Nazarite. Number 8, he was to praise and worship the Lord all the days of his life. Say amen. That was his business. Praise the Lord, worship the Lord. By the way, he was a great singer. Tell somebody near you, are you a singer or you are just a boar? Number 9, he was supposed to fight God's battles. He was supposed to fight God's battles, so he was to lead the army of Israel against their enemies. So he was called spiritual warfare. And the final commandment was, he was not to reveal the secret of his source of power. So the covenant for secrecy, for confidentiality, was a very, very important thing. Ask somebody near you, do you keep secrets? Ask somebody near you, is a secret still a secret? And so, this man called Samson, for 20 years, he did very well. Give him a very big clap. Time is running. He did very, 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 very well for 20 years. He was dedicated and devoted to God for 20 years. Hallelujah. He was dedicated as a Nazarite. He was a holy man who honored God with his life, and he provided example to others. Hallelujah. Then God blessed him with physical strength. So he was dedicated to God and devoted to God. And for 20 years, he was very successful. Number 2, he got physical strength, the blessings of committing yourself to God. Samson used his physical strength to fight Israel's enemies. He led Israel for 20 years. He had incredible physical strength and fought all the enemies of Israel. He was so powerful. Number 3, he killed lions in chapter 14, verse 5. He killed many lions. For him, he was like David, tearing a lion into pieces. Very powerful. Tell somebody near you, you are a lion killer. You are a lion killer in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Number 4, he had power over bees. One time, in chapter 14, verse 8, one time he came
after killing this lion, he came back and he found the bees had made a beehive in the dead lion. He chased them away and got the honey and ate it and then took home and gave his parents. So bees ran away from him. Number four, he had power over bees. Number five, he was a very wise man. He had difficult riddles. In chapter 14, verse 14, he gave the Philistines riddles. He said, if you don't give me the answer, you are all finished. He was very clever. So the wisdom of God was upon him. Number six, he also had power over foxes. In chapter 15, verse 47, he asked, he said, you foxes, wherever you are, come here. I have an assignment for you. All the foxes gathered for a conference. And the Bible says he tied their tails together, put paraffin and petrol on them, and lit them. And he said, go and burn all the gardens of what? Of the Philistines. So they went all over the country. All the vineyards were set on fire by what? By little foxes. They could even come to his conference. Very powerful. He was also fearless in chapter 15, verse 14. He did so many things that a human being could not do. So powerful. Because where was his source? God was the source of his power. Amen. Number eight, he killed 1,000 Philistines in one fight with a jaw of a donkey. Can you imagine just a jaw of a donkey? In chapter 15, verse 14, 16, he killed 1,000 men using a jaw of a donkey. What a powerful man. Because he was keeping the laws. Number nine, he arose at midnight. In chapter 14, verse 14, he carried the gate. He uprooted the gate of the city. An iron gate with all its concrete. And carried it from the city. The city was in the valley. Carried it on top of the mountain. Can you imagine seeing a man lifting a whole gate of Nakawa, of business school, and carrying it on top of Mount Everest? Very powerful. Number 10, he broke into pieces all the ropes that were tied on him. They tied ropes on him. He tore them. That one of gate is chapter 16, verse 3. He broke into pieces. Number 11, he commanded the ground when he got very thirsty. In chapter 15, verse 14, he told the ground, I am thirsty. Please, I command you, give me water. And water gushed from the ground. They obeyed him. And he drank. And he quenched his thirst. What a powerful man. And finally, he was a great judge, a great leader. For 20 years, he was a judge, the chief justice of Israel for 20 years. A national political leader. He was the president of Israel for 20 years. He was a national spiritual leader. He was an archbishop, a high priest of Israel for 20 years. And he was also the commander in chief. In chapter 15, verse 2, he was the commander-in-chief of all the armed forces. But chapter 16 begins with a but in my Bible. Says, tell somebody near you, but. If somebody gives a talk about you, you are a good man, and says, but, it is a question mark. You just do like this. But. Reverend Virunji is a good preacher, but. I may be having four wives. In Kavari. She is a very good singer, but he is a great lecturer, but she is my girlfriend, but can you deal with your buts? Tell somebody near you and say, deal with your buts before it is too late. So although God empowered him with supernatural strength to begin deliverance for Israel, it was his weakness for the Philistine women that did him a big blow. So chapter 14, he talks about his dealings with women. His passion for women was more important to him than God's anointing. So, number one, he decided to love Gentile women. So he broke one of the commandments. Number two, he decided to wed a Philistine woman. And he was deceived and humiliated by his wife and the wedding guests in Judges chapter 14, verse 1. This angered him Samson got his revenge by personally killing 1,000 men in Judges chapter 15. So his appetite for women was very, very dangerous. Tell somebody name, his appetite for women brought his downfall. And then the third one was, so the first one was loving Gentile women. The second one was marrying Gentile women. The third one was worse. He went down to Gaza. Gaza was a forbidden city. So he decided to go there. I am powerful. So namanyira Katonda, I am very powerful. I am going to Gaza. Let them see me. I killed 1,000 of them. I uprooted the city gate. I am now going there. They will understand me. Because they had cheated him. Instead of giving him his wife, they gave him another one at night. And his wife was given to another one. So Samson went down to Gaza. When the Bible says he went down, so instead of climbing, he went down. It's a very big theological statement. Ask somebody near you, are you going up or you're going down? Are you climbing up to Jerusalem or you are going down to Gaza? And by the way, Gaza is still a terrible, sinful city even today. So when he reached there, number one, he saw a prostitute called Delilah. He saw a prostitute. Number two, he fell in love with her. Number three, he went with her. Not only in the city, but he went into the slum, Katanga. I don't know which slums are around here. And went into the slum. You see, this woman was having a muzigo somewhere. And you can imagine the whole chief justice, the whole commander-in-chief, the whole high priest or archbishop going down into a muzigo of Umukazi Marai. Tell somebody here, sin degrades. Sin degrades. So Samson went down there and he was deceived by sin. So when he went there, this is what happened to him. The steps to downfall. Number one, he loved her. Number two, she loved money. And she was a prostitute. She was not virgin. She was a prostitute. And she loved money. So, the command of marrying a virgin is over. The command of not immorality is over. The command of not loving a Gentile is over. So Samson went breaking all those. And I don't know how many times he went there. But even when he was coming from Delilah's house, is when he saw a dead lion and also ate honey from a dead lion. And when he reached into her house, she loved money because she betrayed him for 110 shekels. Then she nagged him over and over. Please tell me where your great strength lies. Chapter 16. Tell somebody near you, if you have a nagging girlfriend, drop her now. If you have a nagging girlfriend, drop her now. Because she's not loving you. She's interested in your money. Delilah said, I love you, chapati. I love you, sugarcane. I love you, karo. I love you. But she was interested in his money. She was a dealer. She was not only a prostitute, but a dealer. If you have a girlfriend who is nagging you, who is acting like a parasite on you, with a degree of Bachelor of Parasitology, drop her now. That is not a relationship. It is what I call transactional relationship. She nagged him over and over. And then the Bible tells us that she bound him. And she said, with what ropes can I bind you to afflict you? Delilah knew that Samson was strong, yet she knew that if he could be bound, they could come and kill him. Now, how much has your girlfriend bound you? Then she made him drunk. He had never drunk alcohol. Then she made him drunk. And because it was his first time to drink alcohol, he drank himself silly. till somebody near you, he drank himself silly. And so he broke the Nazarite law of no alcohol. He drank himself silly. So the Bible says he was like this. He went bananas. He couldn't judge what was right, what was wrong. And she bound him again. She bound him 3 times. And he would break the things. She bound him, he would break the things. She became sinfully romantic. And she started massaging him. He was on her thighs. She was being massaged by her. She was giving her chloroform. Oh, I love you. You are so great. But tell me where your power comes from. Please tell me ask somebody and you, are you being massaged? And Samson actually lied her 3 times. In chapter 16 verse 13, he said, if you could bind me with ropes, if you could bind me with bars, if you could bind me with this, he told Delilah 3 times. And Delilah says, until now, you have mocked me and you are still telling me lies. If you love me, why haven't you told me the truth? Now, he was not supposed to lie. Even if telling a lie to a foreigner, he was not supposed to do it. So, how many commandments has he broken? All of them now. Delilah never gave up on Samson. He never gave up. First time, he told him a lie. Second time, he told him a lie. She kept nagging, tell me where your power comes from. How can you say that you love me? I love you, I love you, when your heart is not with me. Tragically, Samson's heart was with Delilah. But she had chosen him of not loving him. And chapter verse 16, the Bible says, Samson betrayed his source of power. Samson finally betrayed the source of his strength. And it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. She nagged and nagged until he was like a man who is in a coma. And he said, no razor has ever come upon my head. I have been a Nazarite for all my life. If I am shaved, then my strength will leave me. I shall be as weak as other people. Tell somebody near you, as other people. The business of the devil is to make you a Christian look like other people, behave like other people, sit like other people, dress like other people. When you dress like a goat, then you think you are great. When your buttocks, your things are for a display. He betrayed his power. And I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, this was the last blow to Samson. The last commandment he broke was about his power. He told her all his heart. All his heart. When Samson did this, it was very sad, but he told her all his heart. Ask somebody near you, have you told that woman all your heart? But she's not your husband. She's not your wife. She's not your husband. Your boyfriend is not your husband. Your girlfriend is not your wife. You should never ever tell them all your heart. Because you have not made a vow that all I have I give to you. All that I am. And ask somebody near, who gave you permission to sleep with your girlfriend? Somebody, there is a theology now going around universities where they are telling people that God's grace is enough. You can fornicate and God's grace. Let me tell you, if you don't confess your sin will confess you. God is a God of grace, but is also a God of war. You should understand what the Bible says, that Jesus is a lamb of God. Amen? When a lamb comes inside here, will you run away? No, but the Bible also says that Jesus is a lion of Judah. How many of you would not urinate in your pajamas if a lion if a lion entered this house. So don't look at Jesus as a lamb only. Look at Jesus as both a lamb and a lion. Don't joke with God and keep fornicating and you think God is going to stop there. He's going to crush you to pieces beyond repair. Anyway, let me conclude my sermon by saying that while he was in prison, he was given a pay. The Bible says he lost his power. He became like other people. So they came, they shaved his hair. Number two, he was betrayed by the rider, his sweet lover, for money. Number three, he was arrested by the Philistines. He had never, ever been arrested. He was arrested by the Philistines. Number four, he was bound by the Philistines. He bound him in chains. Number five, the Philistines plucked his eyes out. The eyes that were lasting on their girls, they plucked them out using a hot iron. Now let me promise all of you are here, sin will pluck your eyes out. God can allow you to commit sin for 100 times, but number 101, he will hand you over, your eyes will be plucked out. You will be so embarrassed that you will have nowhere to go. I have a friend of mine, he's an archdeacon in Masaka. His wife was a thief, but because he's the wife of an archdeacon, so people wouldn't suspect. So there was a wedding, they invited her husband for a quinjira, a giveaway ceremony, and he was the one who was preaching. His wife went into the Mugole's room to pray for the Mugole as the Mugole was coming out. Now when the Mugole put a phone down, she stole it. Put it in her underwear. So they looked for the phone, they didn't get it. They beat the boys who had come inside to pick the chairs, they beat them thoroughly. Suspect and beat. The boy said, we have not touched this phone. Somebody said, why can't we ring this phone? Maybe somebody has not switched it off. She said, when a thief steals a phone, they switch it off straight. Don't bother. But I think she suspected that she didn't switch it off. So she left the Mugole's room. She went, the toilet was outside. And you had to pass in front of the chidara to go to the toilet. While she was walking very fast to go to the toilet, somebody said, let's just try it. And they tried it. And they said, krr, krr, krr. They said, hey, it is here. And she was in front of her husband, in front of the people from Kampala. Everybody was there. These boys whom they had beaten, within a few seconds, they had landed on her. Within a few seconds, they had stripped her naked 100%. And they removed the phone from her knickers. They beat her thoroughly. She was saved by the police who had been invited on that wedding to keep her in order. Ask somebody near you, what did her husband preach about? And they put her in the papers, first page of our Western Uganda newspaper. And they put the boys getting the phone from her knickers. They wrote at the bottom of that picture, they said, if she knew she was going to steal a phone, why didn't she cut her Mavira forest? So if you just want to joke with God, God is going one day to hand you over. Tell somebody now, if you don't confess your sin will confess you one day. So his eyes were plucked out, so he became blind. Number six, he was castrated by the Philistines. The Philistines got him, they castrated him. His sexual immorality brought his downfall, they cut it off. His eyes brought lust, they cut them off. He was thrown in prison in Gaza. He was given 2 jobs. You see, if you are not employed by God, you are employed by the devil. 2 jobs. 1 job was to grind millet. He became a millet and a wheat grinder. Job number 2, he danced on ceremonies and parties and entertaining them. If you are not employed by God, God will employ you. Can you imagine a whole archbishop, a whole commander in chief, a whole national leader, a whole
chief justice, the judge of Israel. A mighty man who killed lions, a mighty man. Where is he now? He's in prison doing a job of grinding millet. Ask somebody near you, what are you grinding now? What are you grinding now, or what has grounded you? What employment has the devil given you now? He was mocked and humiliated by the Philistines. Every day he was dancing and they mocked him. And finally the name of the Lord was ridiculed in the whole Philistine area. The five kingdoms, they were all saying, now where is he? Where is the God of Israel? So they bound him with bronze fetters. And if we don't humble ourselves, we are going to be bound. He started grinding millet and wheat. There is nothing, perhaps, in the sacred writings that was so bad that this picture of a man of God grinding millet. And he paid for his sin. They mocked him thoroughly. In fact, Samson became a trophy for the worshippers of Baal, the false god. When the people saw him, they praised their God. They said, now where is the God of Israel? Our God is great. Don't you think that because of your sin, you are giving the enemies of God something to ridicule the name of the Lord? Is what you are doing pleasing God? Is what you are doing pleasing God? How far have you fallen? You started very well. You were praying very well. Praying for 3 hours. Where are you now? You used to sing very well. Where are you now? What happened? You used to give testimonies. What happened to you? You used to wear a smile. What has happened? What has wounded your heart? You are now guilt-stricken. You have a badge of condemned. You are guilty. You remember what you did? You are guilty. You are finished. Let me end with good news. The Bible says, Samson, while he was in prison, he cried to the Lord. Give a big hand clap to the Lord. He cried to the Lord in prison. So I want to challenge you, do what? Cry to the Lord. It's not yet over. Like I cried on my TV screen when we lost. God today is giving a second chance. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God had his prayer. The Bible says, I look on the mountains. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. He fixed his eyes on God again. The Bible says, ask and shall be given to you. So when he cried to the Lord, we are not told how many years he was in prison, but the Bible says he cried to the Lord while he was in distress. And 3 things happened to him. Number 1, his hair began to grow. Tell 5 people, his hair began to grow. 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 Hallelujah! So, it is not yet over. If you cry to the Lord today, your hair will begin to grow. Your hair will begin to grow in Jesus' name. Begin now. Number 2, the Philistines didn't care or didn't notice that his hair was growing. Give a big hand clap to the Lord. His enemies didn't care. I wonder why these Philistines did not care to keep his hair cut. They didn't cut it. It kept growing. It kept growing. It kept growing. Hallelujah. As they were mocking, it was growing. As they were mocking, it was growing. As he was grinding, it was growing. As he was dancing for them, it was growing. And he was becoming stronger and stronger and stronger. People may say, you are finished. Let me tell all of you, it's not yet over. People may laugh at you. You are dead. You are finished. It's not yet over. You may have 3 supplementary papers, retakes. It's not yet over. Hey, you may have problems with fees. It's not yet over. His hair began to grow.
Number three, hope for Samson began to rise. Tell three people, hope for Samson began to rise. Hope for Samson began to rise. Hope for Samson began to rise. Hope for Jessica began to rise. Hope for David began to rise. Hope for Patricia began to rise. Hope for Medad began to rise. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And the Philistines decided that they were going to have a celebration, celebrating the downfall of their enemy Samson. So they invited all the five kingdoms that hated Israel. You know, when God wants to destroy his enemies, he can use anything. So they said, qualification number one to come on that party, we are inviting all kings and their wives and their children and their top military officers and their top officials, cabinet ministers, commissioners, that class. They didn't call anybody. So they brought all of them, five of them. They sat in a three-storied building. The Bible says they were 3,000 men. And they were not counting women and children, so they were about 10,000. But that building was on two pillars. The down floor, they were pillars down. I don't know whether they were parking cars there. The cars were not there at that time. You have seen buildings which are built on pillars. So they came. Then beyond the building was a pavilion where they were having these ceremonies of mocking and dancing and drinking themselves silly. Across that house, there was the big temple, the largest temple in Gaza of their God. So they all came. God prepared them for a slaughter. He said, these people have been enemies. They have destroyed Israel. I want to kill them at a go. Tell somebody near, God is very smart. So they all came and they decided that Samson will be their dancer. He's going to come and dance for them as they celebrate his now downfall. What a mockery. Tell somebody, they didn't know his hair had grown. Tell three people, they didn't know his hair had grown. They didn't know his hair had grown. They didn't know his hair had grown. Hallelujah! They didn't know. They had no clue. Let me tell you, people have no clue what you are going to be. Yesterday I was wedding a certain lady. They had no clue. They had made a covenant that she will never marry. I prayed for her. I broke that covenant. They had no clue yesterday. Even by Wednesday, we were not sure whether she was going to get married. There was a certain lady who I think had had sexual immorality with her husband and they had had a boy with her. She came. She said, this is my husband. She forged all the papers. I told her, if you come on Saturday on the wedding, the police will be waiting for you. Never underestimate the power of children. So when they had all sat, so they brought a little boy to come and help a blind man to come to the stage to do what? To dance for them. Tell somebody near you, a little boy. A little boy. Hallelujah. Now, God can use anybody, however small he is. If he was an old man, he would have told him a lie. They used a small boy. So the small boy came and was walking him. So Samson said, where is the pillar of this building? The boy brought his arm and said, this is the one. He said, okay, where is another one? The boy quietly brought him and said, this is the one. Then Samson told this boy, flee for your life as quickly as you can. So he was helped by a little boy. And secondly, he prayed the only and only prayer. He said, Lord, give me only and only and only one chance. Say with me, give me only and only and only and only and only one more chance. Only one. That you could restore my power and my revenge on my enemies. God is a God of a second chance. Only and only one more power. Today, I want you to pray that prayer. Only and only one more chance, Lord. And these Philistines will see me. So he prayed that prayer, and the Lord heard his prayer. God granted his prayer 20 times. You see, the Bible says that he killed people in his death more than he killed in his 20 years. So that means that God gave him a 20 times anointing. Tell 5 people, 20 times anointing. 20 times anointing. 20 times anointing. 20 times anointing. 20 times anointing in Jesus' name. So that is your portion. That is your portion. He gave him power that was 20 times more than he had ever given him. Today, if you return to the Lord, even if you have messed your life in the middle, God is going to restore you 20 times better. Amen. And he lifted the building. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a whole building with 10,000 people? It is just hanging in the air. Imagine all those kings now. The building is hanging in the air. The man is going to do what? To throw it down at the temple. There is a temple down here. There are thousands of people in the middle, in the playground. They are now all at Samson's what? Mercy. I think he must have screamed and said, "You Philistines who took up my eyes, you are going to see me today." And he threw the building down. The Bible says it was shattered into pieces. He died with them. But the Bible says he killed more people in death than he killed when he was alive. He finished all the enemies of God in one go. Why? Because he cried to the Lord. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, he's listed among the what? Among the heroes of faith. Some people have written that he committed suicide, so he went to hell. But if you read the book of Hebrews, and you look up the mighty men of valor, Samson is what? Is among them. Which means he's in heaven, enjoying the goodness of the Lord. Doesn't matter what happened to him, but he ended very well, because God restored him. So may God bless you to begin well in this university. End very well. I am interested in coming on your graduation parties. I am interested in coming on your weddings and asking me to come and wed you. I am interested in coming to baptize your children. I am interested in coming to celebrate your promotion. We are interested in you beginning well and ending very well. When I go to America and I meet my students, what a joy. I lost my phone recently. They grabbed the phone from me in a traffic jam. And when one of my students bought me this phone, I bought the other one at 500,000. I cried for it. This one was 950,000, bought by one of my students. Let me tell you, God wants you to begin very well, and he wants you to end very well. If you are like Samson, you started very well. Somewhere, you messed your life up. It's time for you now. Your hair is going to grow. Let me ask you to rise, and then we pray together in Jesus' name. Amen. And I want to pray for somebody here. Somebody here who is in an area. Your life is like the Israelites. When they had no law and order, each one was doing whatever that pleased them. You have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Today, before your eyes are plucked out, before you are finished, God wants you to give your life to him. Can you please quietly come here and we pray for you if you want to say yes today? I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to begin well and end very well. So that's group number one. Come over here. We pray for you. Group number two are those who were called by God. They were born again at one time, either in primary or in secondary or in university. But somewhere, like Samson, they went down to Gaza. And today, you want to come out. They may have not plucked out your eyes, but you know you have fallen back. Today, you want to return to the Lord. Just walk here in front. We pray for you. And the third group are those who were born again and they went down. And they have had problem after problem. You have been wounded. You have been mocked. You have been embarrassed.
But today you want to cry to the Lord for your hair to grow again. God is a God of restoration. He wants to restore you right now. To the river I am going. Run very quickly. Run very quickly and come. Some of you have a Delilah. A Delilah is on your heel. It's on your heel. Delilah has captured you. It may be a demon. It may be witchcraft. It may be a stronghold in your life. You have a Delilah somewhere. This is your time for you to be delivered from the power of that Delilah. Just come, we pray for you. Any other person? Just come. Come and surrender it to God. He's here. He wants your hair to grow again. He wants to restore you. He wants to restore your joy again. He wants to restore your sight so that you can see what is evil and what is good. Come, this is your time for your hair to grow. You have been humiliated for a long time. You have been cursed for a long time. You have been in bondage for a long time. Come, let those chains be broken. In the name of Jesus. He can set you free today. He can restore your joy. He can restore your peace today. To the river once more. To the river. Any other person? You know you are in Gaza today. Come out. Come out. Before your hair is cut off. Come out. Before you lose your eyes. Come out. Before you are bound, my brother. Come out. Come and receive Jesus. Come out of that relationship, my sister. It is going to renew you, precious Jesus. Come out of that relationship. It is going to renew you. Come here. Come and surrender it to God right now. He's here for you. Lead me closer. Lord, I need. Lord, I need me. Let me ask you, all of you, those who have come forward and those who have remained behind standing, let's put our hands up and pray this prayer after me. Just say, Lord Jesus, I have heard your word about beginning well and finishing well. I have understood your message. Blessed be your name, Lord. I have been convicted by the Holy Spirit. I want you to forgive me. I am like Samson. I have been going down in many areas of my life. I have betrayed your love. I have grieved your spirit, Lord. I have hurt my neighbors. I have broken people's hearts. Cleanse me with your precious blood. I am bound by many chains. Loose me now, Lord. Break those chains right now. In the name of Jesus. I want to be restored. I want my hair to grow again. I want my joy to be restored. I want my peace to be restored. I want my vision to be restored. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill my heart right now. Transform me. Make me the person you want me to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give a big hand clap to the Lord. And if you are there at the back, You have prayed this prayer faithfully and truthfully, and you know you are not okay. As we pray a blessing for these men and women who have come forward, just come forward and we pray for you as well. Just come forward, we pray for you too. You know you have prayed that prayer faithfully and truthfully, and you are honest with yourself. Just come and we pray for you. Just come and walk here and we pray for you right now. Can you face this way, you guys? Just come here, face this way. Just come. Don't fear the public. You have prayed that prayer. Just come and we pray for you. Aleluya twakushaba Uri kwera shumoije Utwebebe Data kitumanya Father, we thank you and we bless you for these men and women who have boldly and publicly come over here to acknowledge that they need you desperately. Blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you for their courage. Thank you for their belief, their faith that now their hair is going to grow. I pray that you forgive them every sin they have committed against you. Through their words, through their actions, through their thoughts, and even what they have failed to do, and places where they have gone where they were not supposed to go, I pray that you completely forgive them, Lord. They are Nazarites. Every law they have broken, forgive them, Lord, because you are a God of restoration. I speak restoration over them right now. In the name of Jesus. I speak resurrection of every area of their lives that has been destroyed. I speak regeneration of anything that was drying up in their lives, Lord. I speak rehabilitation of anything that was shattered in their lives, O Lord our God. I pray that you bandage their wounds. The wounds that have been inflicted on them. The wounds that have caused them pain and to cry, O Lord our God. I pray that you will heal them completely from their past. I pray that you cut them off from their past in the name of Jesus. That today they will have new hair growing, new spiritual hair growing, new power growing, O Lord our God. And I pray that you will deal with their enemies thoroughly as you dealt with the enemies of Israel. And Father, you said, whatever we shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Father, I want to bind every spirit that has been pursuing them. Be bound in the name of Jesus. Every python spirit that has been surrounding them, that has been squeezing them, that has been choking them. You python, I crush your heads right now. In the name of Jesus, I cut you into pieces. In the name of the Lord. Every demon from the water. Every demon from the mountains. Every demon from the forest. Every demon from the graves. Catch fire right now. In the name of Jesus. Every spiritual husband. Catch fire in the name of Jesus. Every seed eater. Catch fire in the name of Jesus. Every devourer that has devoured their lives. Devoured their money. Devoured their wisdom. Devoured their progress. I render you powerless right now, in the name of Jesus. Every curse upon them, every generational curse, good to come in your guys. Every curse from witch doctors, good to come in your guys. Every bondage, good to come in the name of Jesus. I release freedom over their studies, freedom over their finances, freedom over their relationships, in the name of Jesus. Let every chain be broken
chains of fear be broken. Every soul tie where their souls have been bound for many years, go to communion, guys. I set them free from those soul ties of people who died when they were not educated, of people who died when they were not married, of people who died when they were failures. I break that bondage in the name of Jesus. And every demonic covenant made against you, made against your clothes, made against your hair, I render it powerless in the name of Jesus. Every decree against you, every proclamation against you, every word spoken against you, I render it powerless in the name of Jesus. And every power of witchcraft from every corner, I destroy your power right now in the name of Jesus. I release fire from heaven to consume every witchcraft in your body. Let the fire of God fall on your head. Fire in your chest. Fire in your stomach. Fire in your uterus. Fire in your bones. Everywhere there is witchcraft, I render it powerless and destroy it by the fire of God. I pray that these men and women will from today be blessed. I declare you are a victor, not a victim. I declare you are a success, not a failure. I declare you are healed right now from every sickness. Every sickness, catch fire. Be consumed by the fire of God. In the name of Jesus, and every demon that has been strangling them in their sleep, choking them in their sleep, making them sleep when they are reading, I render you powerless in the name of Jesus. From today, I cover them with the blood of Jesus. And I pray that you bless them right now, abundantly, exceedingly, more than they can ever think or imagine. I pray that the Lord will be your shepherd. You shall never lack. I pray that the Lord will, from today, take you to green pastures and still waters. You have been in troubled waters for a long time, in the name of Jesus. I pray that the Lord will prepare a table before your enemies, and your cups will be full and overflowing. I pray that your goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your lives. That is, I shall follow you in your studies. You'll get a wonderful degree. Shall follow you. You get a wonderful husband and a wonderful wife. Shall follow you. You have wonderful children. Shall follow you to get a job. Shall follow you to travel abroad. Shall follow you to be rich and prosperous. And I pray that from today, like Samson, you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be released upon you. Right now, may He make your hair grow again 10 times better. May He bless you abundantly in Jesus' name. Amen. Give a big hand clap to the Lord. Hallelujah. I'd like, you guys who are counselors, write the names of these guys.